Okay, the next section of the Orchot Tzadikim, the next shar is the Shar Ahava, the Gate of Love. We're going to talk about what it means to have a Midah of Love and how one uses the Midah of Love in Judaism in a healthy way and, God forbid, in an unhealthy way as well. So let's begin discussing love. The Orchot Tzadikim divides love or the use of love into two categories. First, tonight we're going to talk about using love in Olam Hazeh, in this world. And then we're going to talk about using love with Hashem and what it means to have Avas Hashem and how to develop a sense of Avas Hashem. Love, says the Orchot Tzadikim, is a midah that can make one's actions and one's midos go to the very, very highest point. You can reach love of Hashem and increase your relationship with Hashem. Or it can also, God forbid, bring one's midos down to the lowest level and the worst possible place. So where do we find love in our lives where it can lead us in the right direction and the wrong direction? He's now going to list seven areas where ahava, where love, can take place in a person's life. And for each one, I'm going to rearrange the order of the Orchot Tzadikim so it makes more sense. And we're going to first learn for each one, A and B, where it's bad, and then where it's going to be good. So let's go through the seven areas of love in a person's life. The first is love of children, a parent's love for a child. Sometimes a parent's love for a child can be negative, because it can prevent the parent from guiding the child on the proper path and not allowing them to struggle or to grow. You know, from the perspective of a parent, sometimes showing love is saying no, or you can't do that, or that's the wrong thing to do, or guiding your child in the right direction. And that comes from a place of love. And a child on the receiving end feels, no, my parents don't love me because I can't do this and I can't do that, and never let me say that they never let me do this. And you only view it as, you know, what I can't do, what my parents are stopping me from doing. But that can sometimes, if there's no end to it, if a parent just gives and gives and gives and never, you know, gives muster to a child, never corrects a child's behavior, so then that is a love that's misplaced and can cause a lot of damage. If a person never hears, you know, that's inappropriate behavior, you shouldn't act that way. You know, you can't just demand whatever you want. You can't simply make a mess of something and not take responsibility for it. And the parent says, oh, I love my child. I would never want to give them any burden. I would never want to, you know, have to have them struggle. There's different types of parents where we used to talk about in education, helicopter parents, parents who hover over their children and don't give them any free space. But in the last few years, I know there was an article in the New York Times a few years ago, we would talk about, and it's appropriate for the weather, snowplow parents. What are snowplow parents? Parents who, like a snowplow, just go through and push all the struggles or all the things that a child may have to deal with, you know, failures and trying to work and grit. And a parent comes through and just pushes away all the problems in the kid's life so the kid never has to take responsibility. And that is misplaced love. That's bad love. Positive love of children should be about how to raise children with Avodas Hashem and to follow in the Derech of Hashem, to raise children in a way that shows true and proper love for them, where they have to grow and they have to struggle and they have to take responsibility, to turn them into a mensch, into real good human beings. That's love of children in a proper way. Number two, love of money. Love of money, I think we can all understand, can lead a person to being terrible, to cheat, to steal, to be miserly, and to be generally a mean human being, if you love money more than anything else. A positive ahava, a positive love of money, is to love what you already have, to be sameach b'chelko. That's how you channel your love towards money in a positive way. In addition, we should view money as a means to help other people, and a way to be able to have time to learn Torah and to do chesed. And when you view money in this way, then it's okay to love your money. It's okay to value. We know that Yaakov Avinu went back to get the pachim katanim, the small containers, because tzaddikim value the money they've made with honesty, and it means a lot to them. Category number three of love is to love of the opposite gender, a man towards a woman towards a man. when it is used improperly, it can lead towards arayos and inappropriate behavior, can lead towards lust and infatuation, but it can also cause one's spouse to lead them in the wrong direction. Because sometimes you have a couple, a husband and a wife, where the other one doesn't want to tell the other person they're acting incorrectly because they feel it's going to damage their relationship. I can't tell that person they're doing the wrong thing, or I can't correct their behavior because, you know, I love them too much, I wouldn't want to hurt their feelings. That's improper. Proper love of a spouse, proper love of a husband and of a wife, says the Orach HaTzadikim, should come through mutual growth as partners in serving Hashem and complementing one another. Proper displays of shalom bias, where you can grow and comment on one another, critique one another, and still love one another as well. The fourth type of love, says the Orach HaTzadikim, that is improper, is love of relative or friends, friendship. What happens when a person misuses love when it comes to friends and relatives is two things. First of all, it enables bad behavior. I love this person so much, I can't tell them what they're doing is destructive and wrong. I can't tell them that their addiction is a problem because I love them so much, I wouldn't want to hurt their feelings. Rabbi Abraham J. Tversky writes about how if a person wants to stop a friend or a family member from an addiction, the only way to turn them around is to let them hit rock bottom. You know, God forbid a person ends up in jail, something like that. You don't bail them out of jail. You don't go and save them every single time they mess up. You show love by not bending to their will. Another time where love is bad is where we get involved in machlokas with friends. Not that this would ever happen to such an esteemed group of people, but sometimes we have friends who don't get along, and then they pull in their other friends to the machlokas. And I don't want you being friends with this one, and I don't want you talking to that one, and if you come to the party, if you come to this group, then I'm not going to want to be friends with you. That is love that's destructive. Because a person says, well, I don't want to upset this one, so I'm going to pick sides in this debate. I'm going to pick sides in this machlokas. That's a misuse of love. That's a terrible form of using a person's love. What's proper behavior? And this is probably the biggest section in this area. What is proper type of love when it comes to a parent or a relative? A proper type of love when it comes to parents and friends, when it comes to, you know, friends and relatives, should be based on v'ahavta l'reicha kamocha. One should love a parent for teaching them Torah and mitzvos and having good midos. One should love their siblings for being partners in elevating each other in their avodas Hashem. This is important because if a parent or a sibling does something that is questionable, don't be blinded by that relationship to not see there's a problem. You know, we grow up. This is not that you should now, after we're done here tonight, go and start critiquing your family. No, we grow up in a household. We grow up in an environment where we assume that everything that happened around us was right. We assume that everything that goes on in our lives is the correct thing to do. And we never look at it with a critical eye. Sometimes, just because we grow up in an environment, or we have siblings, or we have friends around us who behave in a certain way, doesn't mean that's the right thing. You have to take a step back and see, are these people behaving appropriately? Am I blinded by the relationship to not see a problem? Says the Orach HaTzadikim, having great relatives is wonderful. I'll quote a few of his line. He says, "V'harbe toelas yeshal adam b'krovav." A lot of great things can come from having wonderful, loving, helpful relatives. Now, he then goes on to say there's a lot of benefits to being friendly and thereby having friends. He says three things are beneficial to being friendly. The first is that people want to help you, and especially if you're facing challenges, there'll be people in your life who want to help you out. Number two is that you can guide and help people and inspire others to be better when you're able to have a loving relationship. And the third is that you'll have a life of shalom, of peace, without fighting and machlokas. Now, how can you get to a place where you love all people, right? We said, we're in the Shara Ahava, the gates of love. How can I train myself to love all people? It sounds very hard. I'm going to love all people in my life. I'm going to like everyone I come in contact with. How could that be? So he gives a number of examples, but really the key is his first point. He says, if you want to love other people, give to other people. No matter what their circumstances are, be generous and give to people. And this is essentially the point of Rav Dessler's well-known Kuntres HaChesed. I don't know if you guys have gone through the Kuntres HaChesed in your different classes in school, but the Kuntres HaChesed, the essay on Chesed from Rav Dessler, is one, if not the most important piece in all of his five volumes. And Rav Dessler essentially says that we make a mistake. We think that we give to people that we love. I love this person, and therefore I give them of my time, I give them of my money, I give them of my resources, because I love them. No, says Rav Eliyahu Dessler, that is 100% wrong. How do you train yourself to love somebody? By giving. The more you give to a person, the more you will love them. Why does a parent love a child? Because a parent invests and gives to that child time, sleep, money, resources, and that builds a sense of love from a parent to a child, whether the child is biological or adopted. When you invest in somebody, it builds love. And it's the same thing with friendship. You want to love somebody, you have a person that's in your life that's difficult to get along with, you don't feel you love them, give to them. Give and give and give. And eventually, you'll come to a place where you're going to love that person. Because giving causes love, says Rav Dessler. Love does not cause giving. It's a bit counterintuitive to how we think. But says Rav Dessler, this is actually how the world works. Then he goes on to talk about as well, the Orchos Tzadikim talks about, be honest with people, don't make a big deal out of small things, you should speak gently, don't shame other people if they shame you, help others, don't be a burden to others, don't get into fights with people, reach out to people who are suffering, don't reveal secrets of other people, and don't speak Lashon Hara, and be down the kapsachos, and be humble. Essentially, if you're a good person, you'll want to love other people. If you're a jerk, you're probably not going to love people. That's how the Orchos Tzadikim explains it. Now, who should you choose as a friend? So the Orchos Tzadikim says, you should seek out people to be close with who are wise, whom you can learn from. Someone who treats you with respect and is helpful. Someone who is patient, from whom you can learn good midos. You should choose a friend who will tell you when you're doing the wrong thing, and not someone who flatters you all the time. We want to surround ourselves not with yes men, people who just tell us that you're perfect, that you're great, that there's nothing wrong with you. Don't be friends with Rishayim, people who openly sin, people who openly display bad midos. Doesn't mean you should be mean to them, but don't become too close with them. Try to keep your distance to these types of people. That is category 4 of love. Category 5 of love is love of a long life. Loving Arichas Yam. We all know you are certainly younger than me, and you all feel that you are invincible, that you're going to live till 120 and past that, and that nothing bad is ever going to happen. And a person should want to live a long life. But says the Orchos Tzadikim, if a person's desire and constantly is looking to live a long life gets in the wrong perspective, the wrong type of love, it'll prevent a person from being moser nefesh. It'll prevent a person from struggling, from trying to overcome, because they don't want to work hard. Rather, he says, we should love to have a long life so we can accomplish in this world spiritually, in Ruchnias and Avodas Hashem. There is so much Torah out there. There is so much you can accomplish. Even if you live 4 times longer than the average human being, you would still not perfect everything there is to do in this world. This world is a valuable place where we gain the schar for the next world and we prepare ourselves for Olam Haba. The more time you have in this world, the more time you have to prepare for the next world. Right? It says in Pirkei Avos and Parak Dalet, Olam Hazeh Doma Leprizdor. This world is an entranceway to the palace. This is not the palace. We're simply getting ready for the main show that's going to be later on. Don't forget about the Yom HaMisa. This is not to be morbid. A person should always be aware somewhere in the back of their mind that we're all going to pass away at some point, that our neshama is going to leave our body. It's not depressing. It's not morbid. It's the reality. The eventuality is that we're going to end our time in this world. There's always a mission to accomplish, and you will probably not finish every single thing you're supposed to do in this world. We do not simply, as we are told when we are younger, whether our neshama leaves our body when we finish our tafkid. That's not true. There are many people who don't finish. Most people don't finish their tafkid, their complete purpose in this world. It's probably not going to happen. There's so much to do. Don't forget about the Yom HaMisa. Don't forget that at some point the neshama is going to leave your body and time is going to be up. And if you keep that in mind, you'll probably be much better at making the most of your time in this world. Okay? Now, he goes on to say in this section that a life without Yiras Hashem is not life. We see that Rivka, in a few parshios ago, told Yitzchak that she didn't want Yaakov to marry a girl from Benos Ches. She didn't want Yaakov to marry a girl from Eretz Canaan. Why? Because the Benos Ches lacked Yerushalayim. And if Yaakov would have married one of these girls, it would have taken away life. We see that a life in which a person is struggling with Yerushalayim doesn't live a life of awe of heaven is not a life. And therefore, if our relationship with Hashem is challenged, we should prepare to be Moser Nefesh, to push ourselves and to do the right thing, even when it's not easy in this world. Category 6, says the Orach HaTzadikim, is love of kavod and loving honor. A person who loves kavod and does the wrong thing is going to prevent themselves from acting l'shem shemayim and for the sake of Torah. If a person loves honor and loves kavod, you will act in a foolish way in every single thing you do, because you will constantly be doing things for recognition. Now the Gemara in Sanhedrin Kuf Beis says that Hashem told Yeravim ben Nevat. I know this is a long time ago from Navi, but Yeravim ben Nevat was one of the, let's just say, not great kings of the Jewish people. And the Gemara says that as Yeravim got worse and worse, and Yeravim was a big Talmid Chacham, a very, very wise person, HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to Yeravim and said, Yeravim, if you do tshuva, then me, Hashem, and Yeravim, you, and David HaMelech will walk together in Gan Eden. But what does that mean? I'm not sure, but it definitely sounds like a good thing. You and David HaMelech and Hashem are going to walk together in Gan Eden, if he would do tshuva. So guess what Yeravim said? Yeravim, without missing a beat, turned around and asked Hashem, yeah, but who's walking in front? Can you imagine a chutzpah? Can you imagine that? Hashem comes to you and says, you, me, and David HaMelech, we're going to hang out in Gan Eden. And you're like, oh yeah, but I just want to know like who's like walking first. So Hashem says, forget you, I'm done with you, and that's it. So Hashem says to Yeravim, well, honestly, David's going to walk in front of you. So Yeravim said, oh, sorry, it's not for me. Sorry, I don't want that. Can you imagine that? He doesn't want to do tshuva and hang out with Hashem and David HaMelech and Gan Eden, because he wants to be in front. If a person is so obsessed with kavod, you're not going to get anywhere, because you're constantly going to making the wrong decisions for yourself. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says, when Chaim Shulavit says, that the Mishnah says, Akinah v'ataiva v'akavod, motzina sa'adim min ha'olam, that kavod, pursuit of honor in this world, looking for recognition, will remove you from this world. Why does it take you out of this world, says Rechaim Shmulevitz? Because you can never get enough. And when it's not enough, it will ruin your life. You'll be miserable and you'll say, how come I wasn't invited to this wedding? And how come I wasn't honored at this dinner? And how come, I don't get recognition for this? And nobody tells me when I do a good job. And you can never escape this pull for more things and more kavod. And eventually, it will take you out of this world. And you will have a terrible olam hazeh if you constantly are looking for recognition. Now, is there ever a good place to love for kavod? Not really. Maybe, says Yeruch HaSadikim, if it's like if someone's disgracing the honor of a Talmud Chacham or of a Torah personality, maybe something like that. But rarely you should avoid any pursuit of love of kavod. The last type of ahava, of love, in this world is taiva, desires, physical desires. Instead of pursuing physical pleasures, more jelly donuts, more latkes, more physical pleasures in this world, we should eat healthy, we should eat foods that are good for our bodies, says Yeruch HaSadikim. If a person is sick, you will not be able to serve Hashem and keep the Torah. In general, he says, don't eat and drink as much as you want. You should eat what's needed to make sure your body is healthy. Keeping a healthy body is part of being a firm Jew. That's clear, says Yeruch HaSadikim. And the same balance should apply towards attraction to the opposite gender and things like that. A person should not be pursuing these types of desires. They should be balanced in this area. Now, he concludes with this comment, and we're going to elaborate on this before we get to talking about Avos Hashem. He concludes by saying that all of these different types of love that exist in our life can be managed if you follow three simple words in Mishlei, and that is, Bechol Derachecha De'ehu, to know Hashem in all of your ways. If you constantly keep Hashem in every single thing that you do, you will find that balance of the proper love. The Rambam in Hilchos Deos writes in Perek Gimel that Bechol Derachecha De'ehu, to know Hashem in all your ways, is that all of your actions, the chol ma'asecha yulashem shemaim, should be for Hashem's sake. Every physical thing that a person does should be in the service of Hashem. We eat healthy and delicious foods. We exercise so that we can live healthy lives to serve Hashem. We sleep so that we can be rested to serve Hashem, not because it feels good. The Rambam elaborates on this idea in long form in his Shmona Prakim, his introduction to Pirkei Avos, where he adds that all intellectual pursuits are the same thing. If you learn math or literature in order to serve your oneself, then it's useless. But if it's used to have a better understanding of Hashem, then it's proper. It is certainly appropriate to have nice things in order to have harchavas hadas and relaxation and to have an expanded mind so that you can be relaxed and pleasant. But only if it's b'chol derachacha de'ehu. And this is Sayyid Lahalacha in the Shulchan Aruch by the tour in Siman Reish Laman Aleph, where he says everything should be l'shem shemaim. Now, I've heard a number of times from Rabbi Shechter, my Rebbe, who explained that the Torah dictates not only how we must deal in business, but even how we should put on our shoes and tie our shoes, how we should shower, how we should go to sleep at night. A Jew cannot divide his activities between holy and secular. All day long, we are Avdei Hashem. From when you wake up in the morning to you go to sleep at night, every single thing you do is in the service of Hashem. Kol masha kana eved kana balo. You are the servant of Hashem. The halacha is that whatever a servant acquires, it belongs to the master. Whatever you are doing is in the service of Hashem. And all of our activities are expected to be done in the service of our master. Yeah, Lily. As long as it's not a job that's usser, then it's fine. As long as it's not a job... What?
Let's say it is a job that's usser.
Then no. B'chol does not mean that you can do an aveira l'shma, that you can do a sin and say, well, I'm doing it in the service of Hashem. That is not what it's talking about. It means anything that's what we'll call rishus. It's parav. It's not openly a mitzvah. And it's not openly an aveira. It's parav, you know, exercise. Exercise is an aveira. It's not a mitzvah. But if I do it in the service of Hashem, then it becomes, you know, a way to serve Hashem. Eating is not bad or good. It's just a thing we do. But if I do it in the service of Hashem, then it becomes a good thing. Okay? Yeah, Finney. In the beginning of Or HaChaim, in the Shulchan Aruch, in the Mishnah Berurah, in the opening chapters 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7, there we find the halachos of, you know, getting dressed in the morning, going to the bathroom, all those types of things are there in the Shulchan Aruch. It's also laid out in short in the beginning of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. Now, two more points on this, and then we'll get to Avos Hashem. The Taz, Rav David Halevi Segel, who's a commentator on the Shulchan Aruch, writes in Eben Ezra and Siman Chaf Hei, that the logical extension of this idea of the Rambam is that whatever you are doing is being done for the purpose of Bechol Derechecha Dei, to know Hashem in all His ways, then nothing in life should ever be a race. It doesn't matter who sleeps more or less, or who eats more or less, or who gets married first, or who has more children, as long as it's being done in a fashion of Bechol Derechecha Dei. Only when these physical endeavors become self-serving do they become self-destructive, right? Nothing. There's no races in life. You're not racing against who's going to have more, who's going to get into this seminary, who's going to get into this college. It's you and Hashem. But if you have in mind, b'chol derecha chadei, everything I'm doing is for Hashem, then it doesn't matter what everybody else is doing, because it's only you and Hashem in that race together. Now, I just want to end this section with a beautiful story that I happen to like very much, that I think about often, and definitely impacted the way that I take medicine. I'll explain, you'll understand from the story. There was a young father who was very sick, who had a very sick child. And they came to ask Rav Aaron Leib Steinman, the famous gadol in Bnei Brak, a question. There was a pill that the doctors wanted to give the child, but it had a very harsh side effect. And therefore he had to sign a release that gave permission to give his child
this very harsh medicine. And after hearing all the sides of this issue, the side effects or how it would be beneficial, so Rav Steinman told the father the child can take the pill, but it has to be mixed with something. Like you take a pill, like you mix it, So the young father was a bit confused, and he was also a bit slightly annoyed, right? I came here for like halachic advice. I didn't come here for advice of like how to give, you know, my kid medicine. How am I going to go back to the doctors and tell them that his child can take the pill, but you have to follow the additional medical advice of a 100-year-old rabbi in Bnei Brak who's never studied medicine and make sure you like mix it with applesauce. So the father asked Rav Steinman, what exactly do you think the pill should be mixed with? So Rav Steinman said that the pill should be mixed with Tehillim. That's what it means. You should mix the pill with Tehillim. B'chol derachecha deyehu, says Rav Steinman. In every single thing you do, it's with Hashem in mind. You're taking Advil, you don't feel good, so you mix it with Tehillim. You're doing something, a regular mundane thing that you don't think is a mitzvah or an aveira, you mix it in with a bit of Hashem. B'chol derachecha deyehu, and it will help, you know, to quote Mary Poppins, it will help the medicine go down, right? It just needs to mix in with a little bit of Hashem, and it'll make everything a bit better. Okay? So that's Avas Hashem. That's Ava, that's love in this world. Good? We're clear? Yeah, Tamar.
I had a question like about before. You were saying like at Rav Torsky, I think, that you said like to help with an addiction, you let someone like fall with like rock bottom.
Yeah.
Why would that help?
Because without going into all the psychological issues of an addiction, essentially an addict cannot remove themselves from the addiction until they come to an understanding that there is no place else to go. As long as they still feel that there is other places to turn for their addiction, then they're not going to be able to bring themselves out of it. Yeah, Abby. There needs to be a balance between giving so that you come to love them. No, sorry. Not that they will love you. Let me be clear here. Rav Dessler's not saying that you will give to them and therefore they will love you. Rav Dessler is saying that by giving to them, you will come to feel love for them. Do you hear the difference? Okay. We're not mandating an abusive relationship where you just give everything you have and get like nothing in return from anybody else until they take advantage of you. There's no mitzvah to be a shmata and for people to walk all over you and treat you like garbage. What we're talking about here is that if you want to build a sense of love towards other people that you naturally don't feel that sense of love and friendship, well, give to them. By giving to them, it will engender those types of feelings inside. Good? Okay. Yeah.
Wait,
yeah. Yeah.
So you're saying that, like, let's say, like, your teacher, like, let's say, like, actually, I'm not going to say teacher because I just don't want to get into this. Sorry. What's it called again? Like, a lot of people, sorry. Okay, come back to me.
Okay, we'll come back. Okay, let's go on to the second part. Let's go on to the second part of the Orchos Tzaddikim and the Shar Ava, which is Avas Hashem. Avas Hashem, I think, is a concept that we talk about a lot, that we learn about in class and other areas. What we're going to talk about now is, what does that mean, and how does one get there? Now, I want to be clear here. I'm no way speaking as an expert in any of these things we're talking about. I'm simply just transmitting the words of the Orchos Tzaddikim. The Orchos Tzaddikim, as we've noted in our introduction, is always quoting from somebody else, just anonymously. He doesn't tell you where his quotes are from. But this opening piece is almost word for word from the Chovos HaLevavos of Rabbeinu Bachya in the Shar Avas Hashem, where he writes that Avas Hashem is the goal and purpose of all Midos and all Avodas Hashem. The purpose of everything we're doing here is to get to love Hashem. It is the end and be all. And there is nothing higher that a person can accomplish in this world than to have a loving relationship with Hashem. Now, how does that fit with the concept of Yiras Shemayim and having awe and fear of Hashem? Well, we'll talk about it a little bit more. But essentially, Yiras Shemayim, having awe of Hashem, fear of Hashem, not in the sense that Hashem is going to give you a patch, but just the sense of, you know, Hashem is incredible, is a necessary step to attain Avas Hashem. We'll talk about that in a moment later on. What is Avas Hashem? What does that mean when we talk about love of Hashem? That you should walk around all day like, oh, Hashem is so great, he's so amazing. So what do we mean practically? It is when your neshama okay, let's talk. I'll talk about that at the end. You'll remind me at the end, okay, Tamar? Okay. The idea is as follows. It is when a neshama wants nothing more than to be close to Hashem. Your neshama, your essence, is covered up by your body. The body desires and pursues physical things in this world. But at a certain point, when your neshama matures, and you mature as a human being, the neshama will realize that it wants something more. There's something that cannot be attained through physical things, and it wants something different from what the body wants. And as the neshama senses that it has its own power and its own light, it becomes filled with a love and a joy for these types of spiritual things. And when our neshama senses the joy of closeness with Hashem, and you experience a moment of where you feel and connect to Hashem in this world, it wants to experience it more and more and more and more, and to draw closer, to just have this overwhelming feeling to love Hashem. And when a person develops a sense of Avas Hashem, they want to do the Ratzon Hashem, you want to do the will of Hashem, to help other people, to sacrifice for Hashem. A real sense of Avas Hashem, of love of Hashem, will cause a person to want to learn more Torah instead of doing other things. You know, he even goes as far, this is hard to swallow, but I'm just going to, for the sake of intellectual honesty, he says that a person who has a sense of Avas Hashem will want to pursue those things even more than playing with one's own child. That's how far it goes. Now, just to put that in context, do I know exactly what he means? No, because it seems you're going to tell me that, you know, there are great tzaddikim who also played with their children and, you know, gave time to their children. Does that mean they didn't have Avas Hashem? No. I'll tell you what I think it means. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, and many of you know this Gemara as well, from learning this topic last year, or in 10th grade, the Gemara in Sanhedrin says that the case of Ben Sora or Mora, the rebellious child, never occurred ever. Lo hayav lo nivra, says the Gemara. And the whole purpose of this being in the Torah is to be doresh u'mekabel schar, right? To learn and to get reward for learning. We've heard this concept before, right? We're all familiar with this Gemara. That the Ben Sora Mora never really occurred. It was all just theoretical comment topic in the Torah. So Rabbeinu Bachya on that Parsha asks, what could possibly be the lesson, right? Fine. So I agree for a moment that the Ben Sora Mora never occurred. There was never a rebellious son who was killed in Beis Din. Fine. But the Gemara says you're supposed to be Doresh U'mekabel Schar. You're supposed to learn it and get reward for learning. But what's the message? So fine. What's the message I'm supposed to get out of that? So Rabbeinu Bachya says that even though it will never happen, and it should never happen, a parent should reach a level of Avas Hashem where they would be prepared to put Hashem before their children. If one had to decide before the Ratzon Hashem and their child, a person should be able to reach that level. That's what it means to have Avas Hashem. That the single most important thing in your life is Hashem. It can leave a person, says the Or HaTzaddikim, to sing songs about Hashem, just to be overcome with this emotional tie to Hashem. Yeah, Finney.
I feel like that's like what Avram had. Like Avram when he did like
a... Excellent. Perfect. 100%. That is, he put Hashem before his son. So that seems very strict, very harsh, you know. It's an Nisayon, it's a test. It's not just a test of Avram. It was a display of his Avas Hashem, that Hashem comes before every single thing else that's in the world. Again, I'm not saying it's easy to get there, and not saying that most people have it in the bag, but this is what it means to grow and to grow and to grow to attain Avas Hashem. Rabbi Akiva Eger asks how we can be commanded to love Hashem by force, right? You should love Hashem, your God. How can I force you to feel an emotion? So the answer is that before Shema, we say, HaBocher Be'amo Yisrael Be'ahava, that Hashem has chosen the Jewish people with love. Says Rabbi Kiva Eger, because Hashem loves us, if we feel that love, then we will want to reciprocate with our own love. That's how we can love Hashem. If you come to appreciate how much Hashem loves you, then you'll want to return that love back to Hashem. It says in Mishlei, Kemayim hapanim lapanim. Like seeing a reflection in water, seeing your face in water, kein lev ha'adam, so too is the heart of man. When you feel that somebody loves you, you want to radiate that love back at them, which is what we talked about before. It's the same thing with Hashem. HaBocher be'amo Yisrael be'ahava. That Hashem loves you. And if you realize how much Hashem loved you and cared for you, you would want to send that love back towards Hashem. Now, someone who serves Hashem out of love wants to learn Torah, to do mitzvot, because they feel that it's the truth, not because of any reward and punishment. And this is a very high level. Not every single chacham can attain it, says the Orach HaTzaddikim. But this is the meaning of the Avdas Hashem Alkecha b'chol levavcha b'chol nafshecha b'chol me'odecha, to love Hashem in every single thing you do. Now, a proper sense of Avdas Hashem feels the same as someone who's lovesick for another person. When you love another person, you think about them all day long, whether it's a man for a woman for a man. And the same is true of proper Avas Hashem. And this is what Shir HaShirim is all about, right? Ki chola sahava ani, right? It's a beautiful song by Yishai Ribo, which is a favorite, and you should go and listen to it. But the song is a pasuk in Shir HaShirim. It talks about our love of Hashem. Ki chola sahava ani. That I'm chola, I'm ill, I'm sick over my love for Hashem. It just consumes me every single thing I do. A complete and total avas Hashem, says Lirach HaTzaddikim, cannot occur until there is nothing else in this world, in the person's heart, except Hashem. And this is the meaning of b'chol levavcha u'b'chol nafshecha. All of it. As a matter of course, you can't truly have avas Hashem unless you have das, knowledge of Hashem. And therefore, the more one learns about Hashem, the more one can love Hashem. And therefore, a person should learn and study Torah that speaks about Yediyas Hashem, knowledge of Hashem, and understanding Hashem runs the world, and to think about Hashem. You know, tomorrow, Be'ezus Hashem, we're going to talk about that shir they asked me to give. We're going to talk about the Sheish Mitzvos Tmidios, the six constant mitzvos, and this idea of thinking about Hashem throughout the day. Now, this means meditating, learning about Niflos HaBorei, the miracles and the wonders of this world, the Chachma, the wisdom of this world, scientific, artistic, all the wonderful things that we have in this world. And when you think about Shemayim V'yaretz, heaven and earth, and the wisdom of the spiritual and the physical world, it will increase your Avas Hashem. Watch a National Geographic video. Read a book about some incredible scientific thing. All of this should increase one's love of Hashem. And at that same time, we will recognize how small we are in the world and how insignificant we are compared to Hashem. And it's this balance that we're looking for. To have Yiras Hashem, in the sense of being in awe of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and everything he does, not out of fear of punishment, because we don't want to serve Hashem out of fear of, you know, being punished. That's being very, very far away from Avas Hashem, and loving Hashem for everything he does for us in this world. The last piece he says is that once a person attains any level of Avas Hashem, love can only endure if you maintain it. If you just love something and you don't maintain and keep that love up, it's never going to last. How do we maintain our Avas Hashem? How do we keep it going? You have a moment of inspiration. You listened to a shir. You listened to a song. You went on a Shabbaton. You had some inspirational moment that, you know, lifted you up and you felt connected. But now, shoot, it's over and all that inspiration goes away. How are you supposed to balance that? So says the Orach HaTzaddikim, if you want to maintain that inspiration, Torah, mitzvos, halacha. If you don't know what a person appreciates and likes, you can never love them properly. Torah and mitzvos is what Hashem wants. Hashem laid out in the Torah, this is what makes Hashem happy when we do these things. By carefully keeping halacha, we are maintaining and showing our avas Hashem. So when you have a moment of inspiration, you feel that sense of closeness, that spark that occurs, you keep it going with halacha, with mitzvos, with Torah, and allows you to maintain that sense of Avas Hashem. So that is the basic overview, Avas Hashem, Av in this world in good and bad, and different ways it comes through.